In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That's what we did a couple weeks ago. We had the group that was going to Naka. We had them come up, and we as a church gathered around them. We laid hands on them. We prayed for them, and we sent them off. But here's Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. It says, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So now we're gathering the church together and reporting all that God did through our missionaries that we sent out to Arizona. So, you know, God works in the midst of story. God reveals himself in stories. The Bible would be a whole lot shorter if all he did was gave us these, follow these rules and here's my character. But he reveals himself in stories and reveals what it looks like to live for him or what it looks like if you don't live for him in the stories that are told. And then he gives us stories. One of my favorite, I got a lot of favorites in the Bible, but one of my favorites in John chapter 9, there's the blind guy, and Jesus puts mud on his, spits on the ground, makes mud, puts it on his eyes, tell him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. He washes it off, and you can see the religious leaders are all upset because this guy's talking about Jesus like he's something great, and they call him in. He said, this guy's a sinner, and the man says, you know what, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but here's what happened. I was blind, and now I see. It was in his story that he revealed Jesus and what Jesus could do. They could argue with him all kinds of other things, but they could not argue, here's where I was, here's where I am, and Jesus was in the middle. So this morning, we're going to get to hear from a group that went to Naka, but before that, we're going to see a video that was put together about the trip. I'm sorry, Brian, for this video. I had nothing to do with it. Just want you to know, all right? All right, team, if you all would come on up here. Brian, I'm sorry for that. I'd have never done anything like that to you. I just...
No problem.
Now, Keith sent me a text for me to share something for him. Do you want me to share that first or last?
Share it first.
All right. And then we'll start down there wherever. All right, now... Those of you that know Keith, you just got to take this. This is Keith writing, and you just have to imagine him sharing this, all right? Dear real lifers, wow, that makes it sound like we're a prison ministry. Or it's a title for a new sermon series. You're welcome, Mark. We feel like apostles writing to the church to thank you for all you have done and for sending us on this missionary journey. To say we are so proud of this team would not begin to tell you our real heartfelt thoughts. Take a moment and look at the people up here, then look around you, then finally look inside you. When you do what God asks, you never know what you are capable of. It may be sending shoe boxes or a missions trip or even inviting someone you don't like to church. Because you know we all need Jesus. This year was a time of change at Naka. As we encounter new leadership, what a vision they have brought along with new energy. Kind of like Mark the Energizer Bunny Massey. Their energy, I believe, spurred us on as we went to work serving God that week. We were a team made up of three different churches, all there because someone asked and God sent. Here's a partial list of jobs completed. New ramp reworked and completed. Two decks with steps completed. Another new ramp completed. One set of concrete steps that were still drying as we left completed. The Grand Canyon concrete floors are now smooth as silk. Over 700 feet of flooring and new baseboard installed, complete. New lighting and a lot of new wiring installed and completed. New painted walls and ceiling Notice we did not say newly repainted, as these babies have never seen paint and were quite thirsty for it. Our fearsome three tackled the kitchen ministry with graciousness. No mystery meat this year, but still not a fan of the corn dog. They prepared and served over 800 meals in 5 days. Once again, the Owens ministry, and I had to say the Owens ministry. Oh, D-O-N-G. Oh, okay. That's the Owens ministry team. Blasted another home run with students just by being themselves, investing in others' lives. No jobs were started that weren't completed, as far as I know, which is so fantastic. The Grand Canyon is still there, which was created by our God just a few years ago. It stands as a reminder of how far we are divided from God's saving grace through Jesus Christ, and how he decided to show us the glass bridge that most will never see. Remember, always to lead people to the glass bridge. The toll has already been paid. Thank you, Keith. Now you all go.
Oh, okay. I don't really like being up here, so I wrote mine down. We had a very successful trip to NACA this year. Like Keith said, it's under new direction and directors and staff who had been missionaries all over the world themselves and told us stories about that. And they do have a really good vision for NACA and to reach out to more Indian tribes. A lot of projects were completed and new friendships were formed, and we had many laughs. The children were especially happy to see G, Dio, and Lexi, who's down with the kids right now. Thank you to our congregation for your support with funding the different projects and all your prayers. And thank you for those on the trip for your long hours who drove us safely wherever we were going. And last, thank you to Keith and Carol for your endless hours of planning and keeping us all on track.
Well, this was my very first time going on a trip. It was awesome. It was beautiful out there. I asked God, what can I do? Don't ask that. Because number one, they said, oh, you need help in the kitchen. Then they say, oh, you got to take a test. Well, I don't like taking tests. And I passed it, unfortunately. We worked so hard. That's a hard job for free. And I tried to get fired after a while. That didn't work. They don't fire volunteers. It was very hard. To see the kids, I think if we all look within, we see a piece of ourselves in those kids. The not knowing, they have a hard life. And first they didn't say a lot. At the end, we were wearing hairnets too. That's scary. But at the end, they would thank us, and we'd see smiles, and it was all worth it at the end. And we are so awesome that we ask God, what can we do? And I want to hear God's voice. Well, we hear it in the Bible, and we're to give a piece of ourselves to other people. And that's what we can do. And I'm thankful this church gave me the opportunity to do this. It wasn't easy at all. I struggled the whole time, but I'd do it again, and I hope I get the opportunity to do it again. Thank you, guys.
So that Monday, I got a call, and they was like, a spot is opening up, do you want to go to NACA? And I struggled with it, for like 2 days. Really, until I got on the plane, got off the plane, actually. But I'm so glad I went, I jored everything, jored being with everybody, made relationships with people I seen at church and never even really spoke to. I got a relationship with these guys now, so it was real fun. I jored the kids. That Friday when we left, that was really hit me when I told the kids bye, and they, you see their body changed like oh, again, somebody's leaving me or something like that. So it was real fun. Hopefully I can go with you again next year. Rob, he was my bunk buddy, you know, on the bunk beds. I was up top, you know, I let him sleep on the low one.
I'm not a climber.
Yeah, but it was, and going on the West Coast was something different for me because I usually just stay in Caroline County. But it was great to see. I'm so thankful that I got the chance to go, and I will be going and probably bringing my family too, so they can see what's out there, change their, it changed my perspective, and I hope I can change theirs too.
Yeah, you definitely weren't in Caroline County out there. Facts. Maine and Rob from, well, he's not even from Talbot Bible. He's from a church across the bridge, but he came with a group from Talbot Bible. How many days did you spend in that basement cleaning that mess up? 2 days?
2 days, three, almost.
Almost three, yeah. They had their work cut out for them down there. But it was another good trip and another good group. 19 of us went. We teamed up with Talbot Bible and Rob from a church across the bridge. Si kind of touched on it. The people that were involved in just getting us out there and getting us back, I know Michelle had quite a bit to do with it. I know Keith spent a lot of time on the phone talking to the leadership out there about the projects, what we would need when we got there. Carol put a lot of time in. You've got to figure, you got 19 people to get to the airport, collect the money, get to the airport, make sure we get on the airplane, then get back, rental cars. So they spent a lot of time that you don't hear about just getting us ready to go, getting us there, and getting us back. There's new leadership at the school, which is a big improvement. Things went so much better this year than last year. They've got a new vision for the school. They've got a lot of unused buildings out there that they've got a vision for down the road. Just, you know, hope they can pull this off. But things went so much better, so much so that most of us got done ahead of schedule what we had on the list. So Friday was like a bonus day to get other things done. And, of course, Keith being Keith, he decides to turn what would have been just a step at the bottom of a landing into a concrete project that I think Ron was like 7 o'clock that night putting the last trowel on the concrete before we left. Yeah. And the work that Ron and his wife did down in that basement cleaning that mess up was something. So just a good trip. Glad I went. Hope to get to go again. So thanks to everybody who went and worked together and lived together, and we made it all work. So thanks.
Okay, I'm not a big speaker, but anyway, I was really blessed to be able to go on this trip. It was 17 of us, like they said, 19, and everybody had their own gifts. It was really biblical watching the body of Christ work together, getting their own things done. And it was also wonderful to be able to see kids. We sponsor a couple of kids out there, so we were able to meet them. So, yeah, it was a blessing, and I hope we can go again.
You know, Keith and Carol really did a great job trying to, we all showed up at the airport on time. We all got through security on time, and everyone waited on everyone to assemble, so it was really great. So we got in our rental cars, and of course, if you're driving in Arizona, it's like minimum speed is 75. And Debbie and I are in a third row seat, and we're trying to take pictures, and our phones aren't high-speed cameras. And big cactus, the biggest trees look like picket fences. So I think at times there's 90, 95 miles an hour, and we were getting run over by other people. But anyway, other than that, the weather was dry, your lips would chap, and And I cut my finger and a little bit, and the blood, before the blood got down to the bottom, it already dried. So, but yeah, we had a great time with the kids and also the work. We set a pretty high standard for the next group coming in, I'll tell you, really, with the Keith's leadership and Brian and all the rest of them. We had our trades we took with us, and we used our trades, and we weren't managed. We just said, here's the job. We met, and Monday was a little rough, but after that, it was like a well-oiled machine. We did a I think we did a fantastic job. We and personal relationships down there at Cy and Donna, we've really formed some bonds here, and really need to go on a trip like this in order to understand that we've seen people with no makeup, their hair, in pajamas, you know. It's just like we're brothers and sisters, and we are. So we had a great time, and I would encourage you maybe to make the next trip. And also, these children are so, oh my gosh, they're so, you can't explain it, that they're so neglected from their parents on the outside, you know. So you might want to look into sponsoring one of these kids.
Hey guys, so this is our, I think, sixth. Is it our sixth year, Keith? Or not, you're not Keith, you're Brian. I'm used to Keith and Carol being here. You're the new Keith, you're Keith 2.0. Is it our sixth year going? Number six?
Is this our sixth year or seventh or
five? No, okay. Next year will be our sixth. All right, so this is our fifth year going, because we've been going since the beginning. And it's been cool. So for us, you know, when we started going, we were probably just dating, and then we were married, and then babies came. So it's definitely been a transition for us.
So guys, don't go.
It's been a transition for us, especially, I mean, you know, he's an awesome dad, but, you know, the moms, you know, the kids love the moms, right? So for me to go, you know, I don't get to do as much work. You know, I'm taking care of the kids, and but they were awesome. Nova and Presley had a blast, and they helped out. We picked up some trash and cleaned up after the cruise and made sure people had water and little stuff that we could do. But other than that, our job was really the NACA kids, right? Getting the projects together and the activity nights and the pizza. And we wrote, so at the end of the week, we always give them a gift. So we gave them some backpacks, and we wrote scripture verses for each and every one of them. So I can't wait to go back. I really encourage you guys to consider going. You know, Jamaica's awesome too. There's lots of other places you can go. But this is, you know, like right here in the United States. And you get to experience, like he was saying, these kids are just so hungry for love. And even if you say you're like, oh, I don't really have any skills, well, you can love on a kid, I can tell you that. And even that one thing will make a big impact. But I guarantee there's plenty for you to do, even if you don't feel like there is. It will just change your life. It's definitely, it has a special place in my heart, and I plan to go for the rest of my life.
It's supposed to follow stuff like this. It's crazy. First, I want to thank Keith and Carol for the most part. Like, they do so much. Like, Carol has this binder that no one has ever seen the inside of this binder, but I personally don't want to see the inside of it because it's like so regimented and schedules and numbers and words and stuff in there, and I'm like, I don't want no parts of that. But she's great at what she does, and Keith is too. He's the manager. He's the guy that's like, all right, we're going to do this and do that, and you know, he doesn't really do anything. I mean, he's not here. He just, oh, yeah, Keith's great. Yeah, he's fan. He does everything, you know. It's not like he just rides around in a golf cart, you know what I mean? Brian's one of the hardest working dudes there. I will promise you that.
He is.
We called him the very first pitcher. We called him on the golf cart and said, you know what would be hilarious? So it was a planned attack. I'm sorry for that, brother. You know, it was a planned attack. And it just so happened that it happened every time. We would walk up, and even Noble would be like, "Hey, Daddy, look." And I'm like, "Got him." You know what I mean? Gotta get this. You see him zipping by, and then one time he had his hat dropped down. I'm like, "Oh, man, this is fantastic." So G was like, "We're going to get so many good pictures of Brian on his golf cart, and it's going to be hilarious." And
in his defense, like, it's a whole campus, yeah. And there's so much walking, right? So to take tools to and from buildings, it's like an extra half hour. So a golf cart, you need it.
Yeah. So he wasn't just, like, you know, doing laps and stuff like that. He didn't think it was an ATV or nothing. But also, the whole campus is like stone. So I got city feet. So to walk around on stone all day, like, yeah, it hurt for me. You know, I ain't no punk, but it hurt my feet, you know. But, yeah, it's a great experience. It's one of those things that I go for the kids. All the other stuff, little things I might do is just to help out. But I personally go for the kids. I don't care what nobody says. So that's one of those things for me where it's like when we first started going, some of these kids were like 6 and 7, and now they're like high school. We're like, oh, my gosh, it's crazy, you know. They're so much older, and they're still like, "Oh, I remember we called you Papa Smurf." And I'm like, yeah, most people do your age, but all these little kids are like, "Why are they calling this dude Papa Smurf?" It's because I had a blue mohawk when I went. Don't read into it. Papa Smurf didn't have one. Doesn't matter, you know. But in the Native American culture, he does. Oh, but yeah, it's so amazing to see everything that, you know, everybody has their gifts. Like, I'm talking about Iron Man is what Keith calls him, Iron Man and Splash, because they didn't stop working the whole time to the point where Friday night we went out, got pizza. We was there, you know, in and out. We just hurry up, got pizza real quick. We wasn't late. And we get back, and he's still watching. You ever watch concrete dry like this, sitting on a bench? I'm like, hey, Mr. Ron, you need some pizza or something? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, Debbie's going to bring me some out. I'm like, I go in, and I'm like, I don't think she's thinking about bringing you pizza out right now because she was eating her salad. So I said, all right, I'm going to get him some. He had a coat on because it gets cold at night, right? So he had a coat on. He's sitting there watching the concrete, like, and I don't think he was worried about the concrete getting up and leaving. He was worried about one of them kids stepping on it because it almost happened twice. And I'm not going to say a name, but there was one person we went with that dug a 2x4 into the concrete that he had to fix immediately. So, you know, his paranoia was, you know, legit. He had a good reason for being worried about it. But I'm talking about we had a whole group that worked. They worked hard. And everybody worked hard, you know. Not so much me. You know, I ain't do a lot, you know. I walked around, talked a lot, you know. If you notice, we don't even know for sure I was there because I wasn't in the video, you know. I'm not blaming my wife, but, you know, what I am saying is I may have documented a lot of the video and camera, so we'll just say I did that, you know. And if you're thinking about going, you should definitely consider it. We're not above or below kidnapping, as Maine. He didn't want to go the whole way, I think, until he got there and realized, all right, I'm a black dude on a Native American reservation. I'm going to just stick with this group I came with. So that's the reason why it all worked out for him. You know, And he got a couple sons there. We didn't realize, but he had two kids actually at NACA. And so it worked out. Addie, sorry to break the news to you. But, yeah, he did have two kids at NACA. And I said, hey, what's up, little man? He said, I don't know what we're talking about right now. I said, go ask your daddy. So it was great. It was a great time. I had a good time, you know. It was great. Everything, you know, we did. You go out there, get your little jewelry or something. You know, Nova got a bracelet that she lost 3 times since we've been home. But it's one of my favorites. We call it our vacation because we don't have an actual vacation. So we go out here and work and just tell our kids our vacation, you know.
You know, when he said they've been out there 5 times, they tell us, try not to get, when you hug the kids, do a side hug, you know, so you don't want to get too personal with them. When they walk into the room, it was like the superstars, rock stars came in. The kids were all over them, and that was quite a sight to see.
Everyone else is like, "Don't touch him! Don't touch him!" We're like,
"Okay, yeah."
But they're fine.
And I think, you know, it's sad to see like the education level with these kids, but some of them stutter a lot because they call her Gigi. I thought her name was G, but they be like Gigi. So I just like think they might stutter, but they call me Dudu. Yup, yeah, Dudu and Gigi. So that's how it works. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm here. You know, they don't get too close because we don't know why they call me that. But yeah, so it's one of those things that if you go once, I promise you, you're going to want to go again. Like, and it's going to be pressed upon your heart so much that's like, all right, like we plan on doing this for the rest of our lives. And like you said, you know, the first time we went was to be his friends. And now we're like, our kids need to be here. They need to see this. They need to experience it, you know. And it's one of those things that, you know, Nova, we... While I was working, we was playing basketball with Nova, and she was throwing the basketball up to this little smaller little court or whatever, and she said, "Oh, hey, Daddy, when I go to school here, I'm gonna play basketball every day." I said, but what you said when you go to school here, who told you was gonna go to school here?" She said, "Me." So I said, "Go to your room." We didn't have a room, so I said, "Okay, well, we'll talk to your mother and Jesus and them about that." So, but it's one of those things where she immediately loves it there. Like, so, you know, Presley just, they find rocks and stuff, so she's little right now. But they love it. Like, even at a three-year-old's age and mindset and heart and spirit, she can feel just that place is special, you know what I mean, and that she wants to go to school there. Like, I never was like, "Oh, I want to go to school somewhere." So for her to want to do that is kind of important. But God is amazing, and you see it in this place, and you see God's beauty and God's heart in these children when they look at you. And when you love on them, they, like, feel that, and that's why it's so like, "Oh, I know this guy. I know her with her purple hair." Like, that's Gigi and Dudu. So I love them, you know what I mean? So it was just kind of one of those things that, you know, that's why we click with them the way we do, because we've consistently loved them throughout the years, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things you can't, I'd rather do this every year than go on a different kind of vacation. So it's that important. So thank you guys for everything you do, all the support, and Keith and Carol, hope you feel better.
John, you told me I'm brave to have the kids come up here like that. You want to talk about brave? To allow him to have a mic, that is brave. All right?
I'm not going to turn it off. Because
you guys can go on back down to your seats if you want. Or you can stay here with me if you want.
Give me the head.
You know, one of the things, there's a lot of things I love about Real Life Chapel, but one of the things I love is this kind of stuff, right? So we have a group. Every year there's a group going to NACA, going out to Arizona. Now, really cool that you have people from two other churches going along too. So it's not just our people going out, but others are going out with us. In February, we've got, it's kind of wild, 19 going to Jamaica, from three different churches, here and two other churches. So we're including other churches in as we go out. Jesus, right before he ascended, says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's what we're about doing. This week, there's been a group getting all these shoe boxes together and shipping out. Guess what? It's Real Life Chapel working with other churches. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're called to. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is what God has called us to do. If you don't like to travel, we're going to have an opportunity coming up. We're kind of in the early stages of it. I call it, we're going to Haiti and Hurlock. So in Hurlock, there's a Haitian pastor who's with the Church of Nazarene in Seaford, and they've got this as a resource center, a ministry center, and what it's going to be is it's a place for people coming from Haiti or other countries. They come in, gives them a place to stay, helps them get all their paperwork straight, help them get jobs, help them get a place to live, and move them back out, and then move another group in. So they're going to, we're going to build rooms into it and all that in order to have this place. That, and I'm going to tell you, you walk in this building, you think you're in Jamaica. I am not kidding. But we're going to have an opportunity to reach out and connect with people from around the world by going to Hurlock. So be thinking about that. You can help out.
Where Hurlock is it?
On, is it Franklin or one of those streets? It was a church, yeah. What was it called? I don't remember. I've done work there before when it was a church, but I don't remember the name of it. But you know, these projects, all of them, OCC, it's about $10,000 a year for shipping these boxes. NACA, I think, is about $5,000 a year for the project fees, and they're working on the way they're setting that up. Jamaica is about $10,000 to $12,000 for project fees. But this church is faithful and gives towards that and sees that. And whatever you give, when you give towards that, you're giving towards taking the gospel out to people all over the world. From right here in Easton. It's amazing what God does when we are faithful to Him. But see, we serve a God who cares. We serve a God who became man, and as Eugene Peterson says, moved into the neighborhood. He lived right here on earth in a place, in Israel, where there's all kinds of chaos right now. But you can walk the path where Jesus walked. And some of you have been there. God doesn't work, stand off in the distance. You know, we saw on Mount Sinai, He spoke down, and the people said, whoa, whoa, we can't handle that, Moses. You go up and talk to him and come back and tell us. But then Jesus came. And that's what we get an opportunity to do with this. I think that's why God is telling us we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because He wants us to be flesh and blood telling the stories about what God is doing. And He works through us when we do that. The Spirit goes out from us and connects with people. Our words have power when we're speaking the words that Christ gives us. We all have an opportunity to be missionaries. Whether it's going to NACA, going to Jamaica, doing shoeboxes, going to Haiti and Hurlock, or going across the street and taking a plate of cookies to a neighbor. Whatever it is, we all have that opportunity. Jesus came in flesh and blood. He could have, even though the technology wasn't there, he could have streamed in. He could have made that. And you know, I get it. Streaming services and all, Keith and Carol, I'm not talking to you, all right? Streaming services and all, it's great. When somebody can't get, it's great that we can do that. It's great when someone's sick and they can't. But, man, it's so much better when it's flesh and blood. We connect with one another. We build these relationships. That's what God created us for. That's why Jesus became man and hung out with 12 guys that He says, how much longer do I have to put up with you all? You know, these guys were kind of losers, but Jesus made them into so much more, and they changed the world because of the power of God working in them. And on that night He was betrayed, Jesus took plain old bread. Bread like any other bread. It wasn't magic bread. It wasn't bread that came down from heaven. It was bread. And He took it and broke it and said, this is My body given for you. Somehow or another, when we take that bread, it's this bread. But there's something more because of Jesus' presence with us. And as we receive that bread, we're receiving Christ again. We're saying, I want you in me. I want you to fill me. And then Jesus took the cup. Plain old wine. Yes, it was wine. Plain old wine. And he took the cup and he blessed it. And he says, this is my blood of the new covenant. A new agreement. If you come to me in faith, I will wash away your sin and give you new life. Remember that every time you take it. So it's, we use grape juice. It's plain old grape juice. But as we come and take it, it's so much more as the presence of God is with us. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. As we take it, we are in agreement in this covenant with him. He says, I'll give you new life if you come to me. Follow me. I'm going to change everything about you. So this morning, we're going to come and we're going to receive communion. We're going to receive the bread and we're going to receive the juice. And as you get it, just go ahead and take it then. You can pray before you come up. You can pray afterwards. Ask Jesus where he wants to use you in missions. Where he wants to use you. And don't be thinking, oh, I don't want to go to Arizona. No, where does he want to use you in missions? Whether it's across the street or across the ocean. Just say, Jesus, Donna, is, you said it's dangerous, right? Just, here I am, whatever you want. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for these stories. Thank you how you use this team to impact lives out in Arizona. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you that as we see all these boxes being loaded up on a trailer this week, that we know each one of those shoe boxes is going to impact not only a kid, but their family and their community as well. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to use us, use this church to be your light, to be salt, to impact our communities right here, right where we live, Lord. Use us to shine your light. Give us ideas, give us thoughts that help us find ways to connect with people and share the good news and how you've changed our lives. Lord, just help us be able to tell our story about here's where we were and here's where I am and Jesus is in the middle and you can do with it what you want. Lord, we just want to praise you this morning. This Sunday before Thanksgiving, we just give you thanks because you have given us the greatest gift we could ever imagine. Eternal life in Christ. We praise you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.